Okay, if you have a Bible, our text is found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is an amazing book, and Paul goes through a lot of teaching, a lot of instruction, all the way from chapter 1 to we come near the end here in chapter 15. So it's not, we don't want to take it out of context, but it's necessary. Chapter 15 is all on the resurrection and teaching them the true doctrine of the resurrection. And then Paul comes to the end of that amazing chapter about our victory in Christ, which he says the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, and this is the text, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, once again, we call upon you to bless your word. We pray that we'd apply it and we'd hear it for ourselves, Father, and it would change us and change all who are here. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason why I didn't start up in 1 Peter and go and something preach on something like that was because I recognized I'm a little slow, but I'm not too slow. So I recognized that this was a special Sunday, a special time that we were recognizing the labors of God's people in the nursery school. And I think particularly the nursery school ministry has been a blessing, but it's one that's particularly unique and where you're not really seeing, you don't have the opportunity to see the fruit of your labors. Sometimes in a ministry like GCA, you can see the little ones, they start off in kindergarten, you can see the progress. Sometimes you can see them in their little bit older age, they're starting to come to really know the Lord in truth. Some of them get baptized, some of them, you can genuinely see that the ministry has been good and blessed to them. But nursery school has always been harder because you only got them for that brief time and they're so very young. And it's particularly lends itself to, I think, and sometimes I'm sure, unless I'm wrong, now tell me if I'm wrong, you can get discouraged at times. Because all Christian labor is really labor, and especially working with children. There's a lot of labor involved, there's a lot of work involved, and a lot of effort involved. And if you've ever seen any of the closing ceremonies, you've seen how much labor goes in, and we've even seen it today in memorizing those verses. That's not easy for little ones, and getting them to sing the songs and memorize the verses. So there's a lot of effort without a lot of reward, right? So that lends itself to discouragement or at least becoming a little bit faint-hearted or discouraged at times, and when you don't see, sometimes when you don't see fruit. But my goal in this message is to show that the Lord's Word says that we don't have to be like that. We can trust the Lord, and we can trust Him with our labors, even the hardest of our labors, to bring about a harvest and to do what His Word says. It won't come back void. There's good work that's done, and the Lord, it's not in vain, as it's been done in the Lord. And that's exactly how this ministry has been done. Your labors, I'm not just laboring like we labor for our bosses at work or whatever. We've been laboring. You've been laboring for the Lord. And that applies to everyone. Everyone in the church. We should be laboring for the Lord, using our gifts, and not allowing ourselves to be discouraged, because the word of the Lord says that our labors, as opposed to the labors of the ungodly, are not in vain. Why? Because they've been done in the Lord. And that makes all the difference. So today I'll be just looking at vanity, vain. If our labors are not in vain, well, whose labors are vain? And what is vanity? What's vain? What does that mean? Secondly, the idea, it says in our verse that it's always abounding in the work of the Lord. What does abounding mean, and what is the work? And it says, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Looking at work and labor, what does that mean? And how do we abound in that? And then the value, the importance of value. You know, we all know what's valuable and what's not valuable, what's worthless, right? And, you know, if you have a stamp collection and you go take it to the guy, you know, and they look at it and they say, yeah, this is worth about a penny, you know, worthless. You know, it's not even worth the paper that it's printed on, right? That's worthless. But these things in the Lord, our labors, our work in the Lord has real, real eternal value. And that's important for us to know that. It's important for us to remember that, that your labors, our labors, is not in vain. So what is that? And keeping abounding in it, it's, again, it's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to say, well, we've done our labors, and you know, now we're done, we can rest, we can. But the idea there, it's the abounding is it's always having more. It's like the fish and the bread when the Lord fed the 5,000, right? There was leftovers. There was leftovers. We should, as long as we're alive, we should have some leftover strength, if not in the same way, to serve the Lord some way until we go home to be with the Lord. And then it's the hope is not, again, it's not what we see in this world. It's what we know of the future of every single believer. So first, the vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What does that make you think of? Ecclesiastes, right? Solomon. And that kind of vanity, for you who are not that familiar with the scriptures, it's not the vanity of somebody who's vain and is looking in the mirror like, who is that? The prince, yeah, the evil stepmom, right? So you kept one in mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the? It's not that vanity. It's not that, okay? So just put that in your mind. That's not that vanity. This kind of vanity is something that has no value. It's something is vain when it's empty. And sometimes it appears to have value, right? Like that stamp, that really cool-looking stamp that was just worth a penny. It appears to have a value, but it's really worthless. It's really empty. It has no lasting value. It may appear to be good for a time, but it's vain. It's not going to last. It's going to end. When our lives end, when this world ends, right, what's going to happen to those vain things? They're all going to be burned up. There's no value to them, no lasting value. The temporary pleasures sometimes are there, but no lasting value. That's particularly important for young people. Read the book of Ecclesiastes, and you'll see an old man who's misspent many years of his life, Solomon, very wise man, on all the things in the world, and he comes to the conclusion that it's all vanity, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And here it is. So, live joyfully, he said, with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. He says that if you're unsaved, your whole life is vain. Now, that's kind of shocking, right? It's empty, it's worthless, it doesn't last, it doesn't amount to anything, no matter how great. You may be Donald Trump, you may be the king of whatever. Your life, no matter how many palaces were built, no matter how many armies you may direct, it's all vain. It's all worthless. It's all without value, empty, worthless, not able to last. It's false. It's a mirage. It's like that the desert mirages. You ever see the movies where they're going through the desert and they're crawling and they're dying of thirst and then they see the oasis and they run after it, but it's just a mirage. It's empty. That's a good picture of what this world promises, right? It promises a lot, and it gives nothing. It gives nothing especially that lasts, because all the things of this world, only they stop right at the end of our lives, right? That's all there is. There's nothing more to it. Those who live for this world, Scripture says, you have your reward in this life, but that's all they have. and it's vain. It has no lasting value. In Psalm 127, this is an amazing verse. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, go off to work, right? It's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, burning the midnight oil, studying, working late. It's vain to eat the bread of sorrow. For who gives his to eat the bread of sorrows? For so he gives his beloved sleep. In other words, really, really hard, long labor is vain. Somebody who spends years building a city, building a building, doing real labor, right? Careful labor, skilled labor. What does the Lord say? Vain, right? It's in vain you build it, because the Lord's not, it's not in the Lord. He says the watchman, staying awake. You think of in the army. Stephen would be aware of this. In the army, how you have to stay awake. You can't fall asleep. You're staying awake. You're slapping yourself, doing everything you can to stay awake, right? Because they depend on you. But all that is for nothing, right? You how many hours you stayed awake, and it's just worthless. In vain, you rise up early. I used to get up at 3:30 in the morning when I worked for Entenmann's at the time. Got up early in the morning, went off to work, stayed up late, right? But that would all be vain, vanity, if it's not in the Lord. If the Lord doesn't build the house, in other words, the Lord, it's not in the Lord, it's worthless. In Isaiah pleads with the people when he gives the gospel. In Isaiah, he pleads with his people. He says, why do you spend money on what is not bread? Why do you spend money on what, and your wages? That's what we earn from our labor, right? Again, it's not saying that it's not labor. It's not saying that it's not real work. It's not saying we don't sweat and toil, right? That's reality. There's real hard work done, skill, but it's not. It doesn't satisfy. He says, and your wages, for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. You see, it's real, but it doesn't really satisfy. It can't satisfy your soul. It can't give what it promises. It's a cheat. It just promises and then doesn't deliver because it can't. Because our greatest need is the need of our hearts and souls. Isaiah cries out chapter 40. A voice says, "Cry out!" And what is he? He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Show the people of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Again, it's like grass. It's just here today, gone tomorrow. The day of judgment, it'll all be burnt up. It's so important for the young people, but it's for us who are older as well, but particularly for you who are young and starting out, to see what's really important. There's that saying, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. In other words, will not be in vain. Only what's done in the Lord, it's the same thing, will last. And the people in this world, they have their reward. Over and over again in Matthew, when he says, don't be like the hypocrites in prayer and in giving, he says, they have to be seen by men. He says, they have their reward. What is that? They have the praise they're looking for. They have the applause. They have the, you know, people, they look good in their eyes. He'll give them that, but that's all they have. They have their reward now. The rich man, remember the parable, the rich man of Lazarus. But Abraham said, son, when the rich man wanted to be comforted his finger into a cold water to put on his tongue, Abraham said, son, remember, in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. So there's always this disparity. Godly people suffering, godly people in need, godly people that didn't have anything, rich people, right? Wealthy people, powerful people, ungodly, wicked. Where's the justice? Well, the justice is that judgment day. The justice is going to come. And then, as he says, you had your good things, the rich man. Lazarus had his evil things. But now, right? Now, he's comforted and you're in torment. That's powerful. That's the vanity of this world. It gives you nothing. And in the day of judgment, no, nothing. But, again, going back to our verse, he says that your work, your labor in the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And this is where the encouragement, this is the main point of this message, is to encourage you. All of you, some of you have taught Sunday school, some of you have done other things, you continue to serve, and sometimes you get discouraged. We all do. It's something that's common. But we got to remember that our labors are not in vain. If you're apart from Christ, again, there's still time to repent and turn to Christ, and then your life will not be in vain, especially if you're young. I really want to encourage you that you have youth and you have a lifetime ahead. It's time now to choose the Lord, to choose this day whom you're going to serve, to come to Christ and follow him and give your life to him, because then you can have a whole life of service to the Lord that won't be worthless, and you won't come to the end of your life with eternal regrets. Think about it. Think hard about it. It's the only life that's worth living. Work and labor, it really is not easy to serve the Lord. Sometimes it's really work. But the first work here in our verse, it says abounding in the work of the Lord. It's anything we do. It's just work in general. And sometimes we don't think, you know, sometimes little things. I'm sure there were a million little things that you did for the children in the nursery school, right? You wiped their nose. You did little things. You graded their pictures. Sometimes so much of the work of the Lord seems insignificant, you know, making a meal, serving in the kitchen, doing little things, and the sound, it doesn't seem like it's the big deal when we listen to, it's not as important as the preacher on TV or some other great work that we see being done in the kingdom of God. But all the work has value, and it's all work that we're to abound in. It says, bound in the work of the Lord. It's all valuable, no matter how little. Remember what the Lord said. He said, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in my name, in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. How little is a cup of cold water? How many times in teachers, nursery school teachers, you give them a cup of water, or you take them to the bathroom, or you do some little menial thing, mothers especially. How tedious is the work of motherhood and doing that day after day after day, getting no applause and things. These are all things that have value in the Lord. That's the key. It's done in the Lord. That's what gives them the value, even the cup of cold water. And then he goes on to say, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that second word for labor, it's not work, it's a different word, means trouble, troubled labor. It's a word that's used when the man comes to the parable where he comes on prayer, where he's knocking on the door and he wants bread. And the guy says, because you trouble me, I'm going to get up and give you that bread. It's a troubled labor. In other words, it's sweat. It's hard. It's something that hurts to do. And sometimes, oftentimes, the work of the Lord is hard. I mean, we do things we don't feel like doing. We put extra effort into it. We realize that it's for the Lord. And even though we don't feel like doing it, and even though it's hard, we labor on. And it's tedious, and it's long, and we keep serving and serving and serving and putting effort. But it's also a rebuke to those that think the Christian life is just kind of, well, I'll throw the Lord a bone, I'll just do a little bit, I'll show up at church, you know, I don't have to volunteer for anything. It's just kind of, you know, particularly for young people, it's kind of discouraging sometimes that you have the strength now. Now's the time when you have the strength, you have the time, you have the freedom, and this is the time that you really need to be abounding in the work of the Lord, because this is, if when you get older, like me, it gets harder. The bones don't want to move as fast, and the mind is weaker, and all these things, it's easier. Now is the time you really got to put the effort in and realize that this is what the Lord calls you to do, to abound in the work of the Lord and labor for the Lord. It's hard, but it's what the Christian life demands. His grace demands that kind of labor, that kind of commitment, that kind of service to the Lord. It really demands it, in the church in particular, but no matter what we do. And it's all valuable. It's all valuable because it's done in the Lord. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7 when those people came, said to him, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? And did we not do that? And he says, no, you didn't do it. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't deny that they did all these things. What does he say? He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. What he's saying to them is that their work, no matter how they could have worked the whole lifetime in the church doing these things, but it had no value. It didn't help them any in the day of judgment because they didn't do it in him. They didn't know him. It wasn't done in the Lord. It may have been labor, may have been work, but it wasn't done in the Lord, and so it wasn't acceptable, and it was actually wickedness. The Bible says, Proverbs says, even the plowing of the wicked. Not too many people plow today, right? They have machines. But back in the day, they used plows, real plows. It says, even the plowing of the ungodly is sin. So in other words, even a thing that's neutral, right, is sin, because it's not done in the Lord. But yet, the encouragement for us who labor for the Lord is that whatever we do, even the little things, are have value because they're done in the Lord. That's important to keep in mind. In the Hebrews verse, we see God again, he's trying to reinforce this. He says, for God is not unjust to forget. Mother may forget her nursing child, but the Lord will never forget, right? He never forgets what's done in his name. And he won't forget. He's not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered. Sometimes, you know, we look back. We look back over the years and think about all the times we ministered and all the Sunday school classes, the nursery school classes, the people, the laborers, right? All the work we've done for the Lord. We wonder, is it worth it? He says he's not unjust to forget that. In that you've ministered in the past to the saints. Who are the saints, right? God's people. But you do good to all men, but especially the household of God. To the saints, and do minister. In other words, that fits with the abounding in the work of the Lord. It's not to stop at some point. There's no retirement. Where's Gene? No retirement in the kingdom of God. We may retire from it's a blessing. So many years of service and everything and able to retire. It's great. But reality is that there's no retirement in the Lord's service. We can always serve some way. And the Lord encourages us to do it. He says, have ministered and do minister. So the idea there is the abounding, the continuing to, God will give the grace, no matter how old we are. If we think of our brother Frank Schleip, 90th birthday, and he's still serving the Lord, right? He's still having a testimony. He's given, you know, Johanna his recollections of World War II. That's still a service. He still serves the Lord, even unto old age. And it's such a blessing to see that. But that's what it means. And then there's the tendency to grow weary in our labors, right? We all have that. We all become discouraged. We all grow weary in well-doing. What does the Word of God say? And let us not grow weary in doing good, while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We have to sow, and oftentimes won't see the results. But we sow on in hope, right? That the Lord will bring about that blessing, that fruit. He said that the Lord tells us that his word doesn't go forth void. I've heard Jenny mention that about the memory verses and implanting them in the heart, right? But where's the trust? Are we trusting in these little kids to remember these verses? We're not trusting in them. We're trusting in the Lord, right? We're trusting in the fact that we taught them, we did the work, but who's going to bring about the fruit? Who's going to bring about the blessing? It's the Lord, right? He said in Isaiah 55, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You notice the key is the Lord in that, right? The Lord will bless it. How old? It was 3 and 4 year olds, right, in the nursery school. That's young. And Michaela was amazing with her memory first, better than me at this point. But in other words, that's a seed that's been planted there. She knows the words, but she doesn't understand them yet, right? But one day, the Lord will bring those verses, God willing, Lord willing, to fruition, to fruit. And she'll come to know the real meaning of those verses, right? She'll come to understand what it means to love the Lord and for God to so love the world. And Jesus, his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Those words will become real to her by God's grace. And she'll come. The fruit will be born. The Lord is the one who brings it about. But the encouragement, again, is so easy to lose sight of that, to not to stop pressing on. It's like a race. The Christian life is like a race, right? A marathon, not a sprint, but a marathon. And just think, and in a marathon, right? 26 miles, right? Huffing and puffing along. I would be huffing and puffing anyway. I'd be about a mile into that, and I'd be on my face. But think, they're doing all that running, 26 miles. You make it to 26, and then you stop, right? You just stop at 26 miles. What good is it, right? The Lord, the ones who finish are the ones, that's the Christian life, persevering to the end, right? Not giving up, not losing heart. It's easy to lose heart. It's easy to get discouraged and lose sight. Not to grow weary, he says. Let us not grow weary. And again, we were our own worst enemies in that. We will think of all the negative things and think, you know, sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's mental, but it's just not right. We need to be encouraged and not lose heart. Give extra. Abound, it says. That means there's always going to be some little strength to serve the Lord with. You may not think we have it. You know, sometimes, no, for me, it's I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do that. I get overwhelmed. And Denise knows. Denise bears the brunt of that. But it's the Lord, you pray, and somehow the Lord gives you the strength, right? I mean, I know you've experienced that. I know you've done it when you thought you couldn't move, couldn't do it even to the least. And the Lord has come somehow, right, by his Spirit, and given you new strength, refreshed you, right? That's what he does. He gives us new strength, and we can abound in it. In Colossians 3, it says, in whatever you do, do it heartily. That means wholeheartedly, right? Abounding in the work of the Lord, wholeheartedly, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. If we're not keeping that in the Lord in focus, we're going to lose the battle. We have to see that it's in Christ. It's in the Lord that we're serving. We're serving him. Remember, even the cup of cold water, right? In his name. When you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so our labors are not in vain. Your labors in the nursery school, in Sunday school, as mothers, as workers in the kitchen, as whatever you do in the church, cleaning up work days, doing Bible studies, teaching Sunday school, all these things, and there's much, much more that we do on a daily basis for the Lord. It has value, eternal value. Again, the best the ungodly can do is vanity. It's going to be just blown away like the grass. Like the grass withers, the wind comes and blows it away. It's nothing. It's of no value. But the least thing you do for the Lord, in the Lord, has eternal value. There's going to be that day. Pastor Mark spoke of a crown, right? How could we get a crown? How could we get crowns for what we do? We think we're the unprofitable servants, and we are. There's nothing we do that the grace of God doesn't allow us to do, enable us to do. We do all we do by the grace of God, right? Paul said that. He says, I labor more than all, but not I, the grace of God in me. And that's true of every one of us. We can't take any credit. We can't take any, there's no boast, right? We'll not boast. We'll not have a word of boasting on the day of judgment. But we will be rewarded undeservedly. And in the idea of the crowns, right, being cast at the feet of Christ, because he's the one that's worthy. And all our labors that makes them valuable, again, they're valuable because they're in the Lord. They're done for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll be exalted. It's going to be amazing that we, who don't deserve it, will be exalted. And the ungodly will be, they have their reward now. Remember what he said to the rich man. He said, in your lifetime you received your good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. There's that reality of judgment and heaven and hell and an undeserved reward for God's people and a deserved punishment, eternal punishment for the ungodly. But we have the hope, right? The whole 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is to encourage our hope. In Hebrews, again, it says that it's to encourage us that God is not faithful. He won't forget our labors. We should not lose hope or lose heart. Our victory is in Christ, and Christ is risen, right? It says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith, and your faith is empty. Christ didn't raise from the dead. If there's no resurrection, if there's no reward after death, then everything is vain. Everything we do is worthless. He says, he goes on to say, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiful. Imagine if it was all untrue. If all the labor, and we thought we were going to get something and it wasn't true, it would be worthless. But it is true. Christ is risen from the dead. That's true. And there is a judgment day. And there is reward for God's people. And there's a hope that we have that all our labors, no matter how hard, no matter how small, is worth it. It will be worth it. And it's worth it to keep going, to abound in that work of the Lord, and to work and kill yourself. You won't die if you work too hard for the Lord. I guarantee it, right? Because you wouldn't be able to tell me I was wrong if you died. But I don't know anybody that I've met that worked too hard and worked themselves into the grave. I just haven't seen it. I see the Lord renew the strength. I see especially young people can use that strength to serve the Lord. And you won't die. It'll be worth it. The Lord will strengthen you and bless you. And believe me, there's a reward now, right? There is a reward now. The Lord blesses. As we water others, we get watered ourselves. There are many blessings now, but the greatest blessing is future. And that's going to be eternity in the presence of the Lord with his smile and with no sin and joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's a day to work for, right? What does it matter what we do, how much we serve here? What does it matter how much, you know, we sweat and we toil? We're going there. It's all worth it. It's all great. It's all going to be glorious. So it's worth pouring your life out for the Lord and serving him. It's not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. We do again thank you for the labors of your people, especially the nursery school teachers and aides and those who serve there, Father. We know that you have good things in store for them and for the children that came through that nursery school. Father, we just pray for your glory in our labors and in our church. And Father, keep us encouraged. Keep us from getting discouraged and from losing sight of eternity. Father, we want to be pleasing to you and glorify you and persevere to the end. And we do pray for those that are here, Father. I know they're here today who don't know Christ, who are not yet in Christ. All the blessings are in Christ, every spiritual blessing, every good thing, and only what's in Christ is good and worthwhile. So we pray that you'd convict, that you'd prick the conscience, that you'd bring them to repentance, Father, who don't know you yet, who haven't come and committed and thrown their lives to Christ. Father, we thank you that it's not a fool's errand. It's worth it. It's all worth it, and it's not in vain. Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we pray that you'd bless the rest of our time now and the rest of this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.